And here we go.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, everyone. I'm glad you guys are with us today. This is Howard Sapp with Now You Know, and we are so glad to have you be a part of our the podcast, being a part of, you know, coming out with Big Mouth Media. And we are just so excited about, you know, what's going on and just being able to talk to you and really give you guys some stuff that, you know, maybe you knew, maybe you didn't know, maybe some stuff that might be of interest to you. And hopefully, you know, we'll give you some stuff that, like I said, you can kind of take with you and think about it, look it up, study it a little bit, and come back and even give us some conversation about it. So again, my name is Howard Sapp with Now You Know, and I'm here with my my partner in crime, one of my favorite persons, Dr. Cindy Banier. Dr. Cindy Banier, give everybody a good shout out.
Hey, everybody. Hope you are having a great week. We're into March, unbelievably.
Yes.
And I'm coming to you makeup free today, mostly because I was too lazy to go and find my makeup and put it on. So I just hope everybody's okay. I'm enjoying my makeup free look today, but anyway.
It is all good. It is all good. You are feeling it and everything is, hey, no, it's all good, babe. It's all good.
We'll be natural. That's all right.
There you go. There you go. There you go. So how was the weekend? How was the weekend?
You know, oh, man, you know, we had a really great weekend this weekend here in Southwest Florida. We had Cape Coral Pride.
Yes.
A really great event. Had a great opportunity to get out there. I was really impressed with our Democratic friends, and they had a ton of volunteers. A lot of great entry. We got a ton of petitions for our candidates. We got folks registered to vote. I mean, it was really great. And I had like a little boost too. So I had at least two different occasions where people recognized me from our work here, from running for Congress. Well, it's like, you know, it's not even like that side. Like, I don't care about that, but I love to know that what we're doing matters. Yes. I love to know that we're putting out these messages. It's helping people to find their place in Southwest Florida. You know, and these were gay men actually at the event here at Pride, and they've been so under attack here in the state of Florida. And just the work that we do helping to promote equality and inclusivity helps people who would maybe feel more marginalized in our community than they, you know, they would be. So I'm happy to have that, and shout out to new friends. And if you do see me around in public, even if I am in like, you know, my makeup free or gremlin mode, it's okay to say hi. I love to hear it. And, you know, keep filling us, like keep filling our cups so we can keep going.
Yes. There you go. That is good. And it's good, like you say, just to get out, you know, and meet the people and talk with people and just converse, you know, with them to, you know, what's on your mind, what's going on. And I think that in doing that, even as someone that wants to be involved or that is involved in the community, it makes a big difference. Because just like you say, you know, people, you know, recognize you. But one of the things that, you know, that I've been doing here lately was making phone calls and that type thing, you know, trying to really get out and reach people, you know, as best I can. If I can't, you know, physically get out, I'm still making phone calls. And the surprising thing, you know, is I know, of course, you get a lot of, you know, calls that people don't answer. But even for those that I've had the opportunity to talk with have been really, really wonderful people. But also for those that I've talked to, some of them to say, well, it's the first time that, you know, someone that's running for office, you know, have actually called them and asked them, you know, what their thoughts were, those things that's going on. What are the things that's important to them? And I've gotten those comments on a number of occasions. They say it's the first time that anyone has ever called, and they were thankful of just being able to express, you know, things that matter to them and stuff, instead of just hearing things on the television or radio or something like that, but just bringing them into to being a part of the process itself. You know, and I think that that is so important to bring people into the process, because that's one of the things that we have, you know, as far as this podcast is concerned, because Now You Know, because we want to bring people into the process so that they can make informed and well-informed decisions on whatever it is. Doesn't mean that you're going to vote for this person or that person, but you make your decision. But that's just been so refreshing to be able to, you know, at least people tell you thank you for calling. I know sometimes if you call and they're like, I don't want to hear anything, I'm not interested, you know, forget it, you know. But it kind of balances out, you know, but hey, it is what it is. So, but those types of responses are the things that really keep you going.
That's true. Yeah. And yeah, keep us going here. Like, it is so important that we get people involved. And that's why, like you said, reaching out to people, making sure that we're posting information on social media. Yeah. And because we need people to feel invigorated and feel like they're a part of the community to vote, right?
Yes, yes.
If people don't feel invited in, they're not informed about what their options are, that they're not likely to vote. So that's part of the work that we do all the time, that, you know, Howard does as a candidate, that I do as a whatever I am these days. I'm a community activist person.
Everything. I mean,
media mogul. Let's go media mogul.
Yeah, you're a little bit of everything, you know, so that's good, though. But that's really good. So, yeah, we certainly enjoy that and something that we're certainly looking forward to. So definitely. And just want to talk about a few things today. We know, you know, a lot of things is happening, you know, nationally. Of course, they've, you know, the Supreme Court in Colorado, they were talking about, is Donald Trump going to be able to be on the ballot, not on the ballot? But the Supreme Court have come out to say that, you know, they're going to allow him to be on the ballot. It has nothing to do with him winning anything, you know, or, you know, saying that he has a victory in this particular area. But I think that, you know, with them and the decision that they made was saying that because of the fact that that decision had to, or they're looking to think that that decision would have to go before legislation and come out with some type of law or, you know, something other than just them deciding on this particular issue. At least that's kind of what I was gathering from at least the comments that I've heard. So, I mean, he's on the ballot, but we can still look forward to making sure that he does not, you know, become president of these United States. So regardless of what ballot he's on, I don't care if it's dog catcher or whatever, you know, mosquito keeper, I don't care. You know, we can make sure that he is not, you know, one that would sit in anybody's oval seat or square seat, round seat. I don't care. You know, dude, you know, just
do your thing. So I was going to say, let's clarify for this. So there was a ruling that came down from the Supreme Court today that was related to the challenge of the removal of Donald Trump from the primary ballot in Colorado.
Exactly.
And it was based on a 14th Amendment challenge related to insurrection.
Yes.
And it's kind of an interesting ruling from my perspective, because the way that it had been done in Colorado is they went through a whole court case, a whole trial.
Yeah, exactly.
And they were presenting evidence and saying, okay, he, you know, was engaging in insurrection.
Yes.
The Colorado Supreme Court determined, yes, he engaged in insurrection. There is enough evidence to do that. Therefore, we're going to remove him from the ballot based on the 14th Amendment. And then we have the Supreme Court, which we already know is a conservative supermajority with three of the justices directly appointed by Donald Trump. They decided that no, there was actually no 14th Amendment challenge that was valid and said that Trump had to be on the ballot for Colorado. Yeah. And it has nationwide implications for all of the similar 14th Amendment challenges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because there were a number of states that was considering, you know, removing him from the ballot, you know, and because of this, of course, it'll be difficult for them to justify, because I'm sure they'll say, well, we didn't do it for Colorado, so why would we do it for this particular state or that? So, I mean, understanding that, you know, but I think that we can still, you know, move forward with, you know, certainly everything that we are planning, certainly not making him president, though he's on the ballot and that type thing.
Right. We can still not vote for him because he's
still not vote for him, you know, and there's still so many other things that, you know, issues that he has, you know, that he has to face, you know,
91 felonies.
Oh, yeah, exactly. You know, so, I mean, dude is still, you know, trying to keep himself out of jail, you know, but
massive fraud where you can't do business in the state of New York.
I know. He can't do. Yeah. I think is it 3 years for him in New York? I think 2 years for his kids. And then now, of course, you know, with over the $350 million that he has to fine, and then the other monies, and he's trying to fight his way out of those things. So it is just
the defamation cases from each. Yes. Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on.
It's crazy, you know. But of course, and I was reading one thing about him that, you know, he's now trying to take credit for some of the stuff President Obama did, you know, and it's funny how just like when he didn't want the immigrants or the border didn't want them to pass a bill for that, the things that, of course, we talked about last time, that primarily the Republicans wanted, but they didn't want, of course, the Democrats or Joe Biden to get the credit for it. But yet and still, things that President Obama accomplished, Donald Trump is trying to take credit for that. It's like, really, dude? I mean, wow. You know, you are, you know, you're a dude that's on another level of low. You know,
yeah. I mean, you know, just making up his own reality as he goes. Just
yes, that's what I'm saying. You know, he is like on another level of low. And I'm like, wow. You know, but hey, it is what it is. So we know who and what we're dealing with, you know, so that makes it doesn't make it any easier, but at least you know what you're facing. You know, you know the snake that you're facing. So kind of go from there. Now, some of the other stuff that's going on in Florida. You know, of course, right now we have the social media piece that they're trying to figure out with, you know, kids, I think it's 14 years or younger, not being able to open up social media accounts. You know, those are things that they're trying to fight now. I know that that's one of the things that Governor DeSantis was looking at. I'm not sure. And I was telling talking to my daughter, she'll be 22 and next month, as a matter of fact, and saying it's just, to me, it's just like that. That test, when you tell people once it's out there, it's tough to put back in. It's like, you know, you have the toothpaste.
The genie in the bottle, right? Or the toothpaste. Yeah, exactly. There you go.
You squeeze all the toothpaste out and say, okay, now put it back in. Well, we can't get it back in. And that's how social media is. That's where we are now. Because you look at all of these things that are going on with social media. You have kids that are so young, you know, with phones and tablets and iPads and that type of thing, the parents buy them. And so they just have access right now. So how do you take that access away once it's out? I mean, because some parents, I don't care what you do and I don't care how you do it or what you think, they can say whatever. But if a parent says, well, I want my kid to have a phone, I want my kid to have this, and I want my kid to have that, you're not going to take that away. I mean, you should have thought about that. And I understand that it's impossible. You can't think of every scenario or situation, but a long time ago, that should have been thought about. Right now, dude, that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. And that was actually what I believe. And I was trying to look it up because I get all these like updates to my phone on this. Right. So here I was looking to see. So what had happened, and this is the Florida legislature, both the House and the Senate had passed a bill that said, that it was, I believe, 16 and under.
I think it's 14.
Well, hold on a second. And then, that was vetoed. DeSantis vetoed.
Exactly. The 16 and under was vetoed.
So now they have a new bill that's coming in. And this one says that Governor DeSantis had vetoed the first bill, HB1, out of concern that it did not allow parents of 14 and 15 year olds to have a say. So now we have, it was refiled, and now it's House Bill 3 that would allow 14 and 15 year olds to have social media accounts with permission from a legal guardian. Right. For kids ages 13 and under, the bill establishes a total ban.
Right, exactly.
So it's very weird, though, that, you know, and listen, nobody's ever going to say the Republicans are consistent with their ideology, right? It's like you go back the past few years and it was parents' rights. Parents have the right to determine what books their kids read and what their kids' names are and and how they look and how they dress and you know, whether or not they wear a mask in school, going back to COVID, right? This was parents' rights,
yes.
But now, because of this social media thing, because they have their own beef with social media, now then it's okay to strip the parents of their rights.
I know.
Yeah.
That's the crazy piece. And I was had a conversation with someone also about almost the same exact thing as far as the parents' rights, because we were talking about the books in school. And, you know, and one of their big things, well, just say as far as the Republicans are concerned, you know, one of their big things is, you know, government, you know, overreaching government and that type thing and, you know, all of this. But you're the ones that's taking away so many rights from people. You're not the legislation to me. I mean, and I understand they're doing other stuff, you know, but it just seems as though you're taking the rights away from people that you initially wanted to say that, like you say, parents' rights, parents should have this, parents should have the right to do this, parents should have a right to, you know, be a part of their kids' education, parents should have a right to, you know, all of these things. But you go in and say, but you can't have this book, you can't have that, we're going to strip away this curriculum, you can't study that, you can't look at this, and all of these things. But then before, you was talking about parents' rights. I mean, so what is it? I mean, is it parents' rights? You know, is it government overreaching? You know, what? Let's come to some type of normacy or whatever, trying to figure out what your position is on what you're trying to do. And it's, they're all over the place.
So we call that situational ethics.
Yeah,
right. Like when your ethical values aren't like consistent, mm-hmm. it's like whatever is the best thing for you at the time is at the right answer. That yes. seems to be what the Republicans are operating on is That's situational it. Ethics. It's like, oh, well, parental rights are important when I'm talking about masks and vaccines, but mm-hmm. it's not important when we're talking about social media and books.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's not consistent. And I love calling out their hypocrisy on this, and because it's stupid, like, and nobody can explain it except for they're like, well, this is our thing. So, okay, right. great. Like, cool. Yeah. So it's just, there's no consistency.
It. Yeah. They can't explain it at all. And I saw this one, crazy. It was this one, I think it was a TikTok piece, but it was true. And they were, and kind of spoofing it. The situation was true to whereas just like the books and the banning of the books, and this is how far they went. They were looking at talking about a math, the people wanted to change the math curriculum, you know, for the state of Florida. And they were saying because one third grade book, math book, had in it on one page that it asked the kid what they get frustrated about.
Right, because it had the social emotional learning, right?
So what do they get frustrated about? So they said, well, you can't use that book because on this particular page or whatever it is, page 200, it asks this particular question. So you have to take that out. And then another one was something about, you know, how a kid felt or whatever it was, but it just asked them a single question that was very generic. The kid could have said whatever, had nothing to do with math, but it had nothing to do with, you know, a race, had nothing to do with, you know, what they thought of another person or history or anything like that. It was just a general question. And they said, because of that question, that book had to be thrown out, or they wanted that book thrown out. And these are the type of hypocritical things that they look at, because you want the state to spend, and the guy said, over $750 million to change an entire curriculum over two questions, from one from a third grade and one from a fourth grade. A math curriculum, you want that tossed in something new simply because they ask a kid, what are you frustrated about? and it's crazy, because those are the things that we are fighting against. You know, such nonsense.
Right.
It's something. And now we have, when they talk about the education, now I'm sure you've heard of that has happened even on a larger scale at the University of Florida, when they now with Governor DeSantis and the DEI piece, diversity, equity, and inclusion. Now, University of Florida has, of course, stripped that entire, I mean, really?
The DEI department?
Yes, the entire department. So you take away, I think, I'm not sure how many jobs and that type of thing, just because. And it makes no sense at all. But you're for education, though. You're for people being able to learn. You're for people being able to do this. And but,
no, let's be honest. No, they're not. They're for crony politics and BS, you know, items, culture war items. Yes. They don't care not about the quality of education, neither K-12 education or higher education. I mean, last year, the Florida legislature filed the largest defunding of the public schools in the history of the state, right?
Yes.
The giveaway mm-hmm. to private and religious schools through the universal charter yes. school system.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
that's crazy. And that's what they're doing. So it amazes me, you know, how people can really just sit down and think and look. And
I think you said something there, think. I don't know
if they do that
how much thought there is. I feel like it's
situational.
It's situational ethics. But I also think that these folks aren't like, they're being handed this legislation either by political lobbyists or mm-hmm. big think tank lobbyists. Actually, we just caught essentially one of our local elected officials, Tiffany Esposito, who is House District 77 that our friend Cornelius Fowler is running for. She just got caught saying, oh no, I'm not associated with this think tank, this big development think tank. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that he was that executive director of that think tank was the author of the bill that she filed. And like, it's the tracking behind it is still there. So no, these folks aren't thinking, they're just going up, they're punching a button, they're putting stuff in so that they can get money in their bank account so they can climb a ladder.
That's it. And that's all they're doing. And you know, it's really the way that, you know, they present it, you know, and you would think, I'll put it this way. You would think that the way that they presented would be something that's, you know, kind of at least hidden with their agenda, but their agenda is plain. It's out there to see. There is no hiding what their agenda is. And that really, I'm like, really, it's just boom. It's just out there. You know, it's just plain and simple. You know, this is what we want, and this is how we're going to get it. I mean, just like Donald Trump is the type of person that he's already told those that would vote for him, I want to be a dictator. And if I'm elected, I would be a dictator. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. You know, right. There is no, and everything, well, at least for the first, he said first day, but I, of course, we don't believe that. But everything that he does would be basically revenge from previous years. He's already laid it out, and he's already stating, this is what I would do as a president of the United States. I'm going to dictate. I'm going to, you know, get revenge. You know, I'm coming after those that, you know, and for those that, even with the insurrection piece, of course, yeah, he would try and, you know, go ahead and get everybody, you know, slate wiped clean. Of course, they're going to try and get his the same, but he's already telling people, this is what I'm going to do. So it's blatant. It's plain and simple. It's right out there. It's out and open. And we, as those that at least have some type of, intelligence, should be able to see that this is what it is. Let's make sure that we come together and ensure that this type of, I don't know if it's any type of governance, because it's no type of governance.
Authoritarian government. Yeah,
exactly. You know,
here,
so we have to make
this
sure
fascist, regime doesn't get in trouble. It doesn't get in charge. Yeah.
I know, like, right? We have to. So we want to make sure that those, you know, we get everybody out to vote. So it is just crazy what you see. And then, like I said, with DeSantis, he's doing basically the same thing. I know that they're still fighting for when DeSantis came, I think it was in 2022, when they did the new drawing, you know, of those district lines, definitely up in north. They're still fighting that battle. You know, they were trying to get it to whereas they would have had some type of resolution by this election, but I don't think that that's going to happen. But they're still fighting, though. They're still fighting, and there is still hope. But they're, you know, that's something that, of course, DeSantis wanted to do so that he can make sure that they took away, I think, what it was. Was it two?
Yeah.
Two districts?
Well, the Republicans gained 3 seats alone the gerrymandering in Florida. But specifically, it was the disempowerment of Black voters in the District 5, which had been Al Lawson's district.
Right.
And there was another district that was near Miami, or not near Orlando, that was similar. That was Stephanie Howell's district. I think, can't remember her name right now. But so they kind of gerrymandered those out. But here's the thing. It affects the map of the whole state, right? Because you have to make a section that's 750,000 people, and it has to follow all these rules according to, because we do have a fair districting amendment in the state constitution that was passed, I believe, in 2016, and that says that you can't have wildly drawn district. They have to be compact. They have to be natural communities. So we have a lot of standards that tell us how we can do that. And frankly, it was one of the reasons why, when those maps were coming out, I was trying to fight against, because they split up the city of Fort Myers. Why? because Fort Myers has got a lot of Black folks who vote Democratic, yes. okay? And yes. they wanted to split those up. That's called yep. cracking. They'll crack districts like that That's so true. That the Black vote in particular is watered down. So that's what they had done to the Al Lawson district.
Yeah, and that was a thing that was so crazy. And it's almost like I remember when they were building schools and high schools, and they're trying to redistrict for high schools and that type, and they would divide a community or whatever right in the middle of the community. And that's the same thing that they were doing with, like you say, with this type of action and activity. You're wanting to divide, and they say, well, no, we're not going to stop you from voting. You can vote, you know, but your vote is less effective if we spread you out, you know, and you have to vote over in this district, and this person's over in this district, regardless of the community that you live in. Yeah, you can be on one street and you're going to vote in one district. The other person can be on another street right next to you, you know, or across the street, you know, and they vote in another district. And that's crazy. But like you say, it didn't, they couldn't suppress the vote in a manner of saying that you can't vote. You can vote. We're not stopping them from voting. But your vote is less effective because of the fact that, like you say, they're really splitting you out and kind of going from
gerrymandering is absolutely voter suppression, because if you don't feel like your vote matters, right? Because you're overwhelmingly district, you're less likely to show up. That's not the same as the poll tax and the literacy tests that there had been in the past, but it's definitely the modern version of voter suppression. Which the Republicans in this state have gotten really good at, especially since the 2012 stripping of the oversight in the 1965 Civil Voting Rights Act. There used to be oversight in the states. So all the states in the South that had a history of voter suppression had to have federal oversight, and when they had new laws related to the election. And as soon as that part was removed by the Supreme Court, thousands of bills have been filed that have significantly led to suppressed turnout in the state and making it harder for folks to vote. Everything from, you know, IDs, license requirements, to the gerrymandering, to reducing early voting hours, reducing vote by mail,
moving precincts and locations to vote.
Right, moving precincts. And now the thing in the past year was the drop box thing. Like, you can only have one, you can't have a bunch of people drop it off. Like, so you can't go to a senior's home and have everybody drop, you know, can't have one person drop it off from the senior's home. The ballot harvesting thing. So it makes it harder for folks, the disabled folks and the older folks, especially, to vote.
That's true. That's true. And see, and I think that, one of the biggest things, and you have to understand that is huge, you know, for, you know, places like, you know, Fort Myers and the county and for Florida, because of the fact that a lot of, or the age, you know, for basically Florida, just say Fort Myers. I mean, you don't have, you have a lot of seniors in the area, you know, and that's what makes up a lot of the population, you know. And so when you talk about making it inconvenient for those people to vote, of course, you're going to have less of, like you say, you're not going to have a great turnout, because just to get someone to just say, if it's, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 blocks away from your house, okay, you can get someone to really take you real quick, bring it back. Now you're talking about, now it's, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 miles away from your house. Now you don't have at least that help that someone may just say, I can do it. It's going to take a couple minutes. Now it's going to take a little bit more effort to make sure that we can get this person to vote. So that's the biggest piece, because of the fact that, you know, looking at the demographics and how, you know, Fort Myers, or at least the age group that makes up the Lee County area, you have a lot of seniors. And they want to participate, but if you make it difficult for them to, then, like you said, that's why, you know, vote by mail was so so significant for the area. So, but you're gonna make that more difficult now. But now you gotta redo it and all of this. And a lot of these people aren't necessarily, you know, social media or computer savvy, technology savvy. So you have to have someone that's going to sit with them or come with them and make sure that they have at least those things taken care of, so that you can vote. however it is and try and make it as easy as possible. So we, that's why we have to just make sure that we do come together and understand what's happening, why it's happening, how it's happening, and just try and put forth the effort to make sure that everybody still has a right to vote. And that's what we really want to do. Yeah. So that's good. So what else is going on in Florida? I know one of the biggest things that for me, I think was it last week or week before last when they released that water from Okeechobee?
Not this past Saturday, but the weekend before.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, and I was looking at that and it's
nasty.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's another thing. That's another thing that we, you know, look at. And one of the things that I was talking to someone about, it was, you know, one of the biggest things for us, and I think we had, you know, when the NAACP sponsored, you know, their Meet the Candidates and stuff, and we were talking about, I was talking about the environment, but being able to understand what that actually does for our environment or to our environment, you know, and I think that even with you being on the environmental committee, you know, understanding that, you know, more so than or better than, you know, so many other people, but how that actually affects the Fort Myers area and what that actually does for, you know, our canals and streams and, you know, the beach that we have. You know, this is, you know, this environment or the beaches is basically one of the biggest moneymakers for our area.
Right.
And you just flooded with toxic stuff. You know,
yeah.
you take that away. And if you can just explain a little bit to them, because I really believe that's so important that people understand when they do this release, this is how it adversely affects our area.
Absolutely. So what we're seeing, so the releases started again about a week and change ago. Mm-hmm. And what you see is the beautiful coastline of Southwest Florida, Sanibel, and it's like crystal blue water and sand.
Yes.
And then you see the outlet from the Caloosahatchee and it's dark brown Coca-Cola colored water.
Yes.
And they have these overhead views of it. And you're like, oh my gosh, it's horrible. Cause it is like, it's a line.
Yeah, it is.
Cutting
it is.
Through this beautiful, pristine water. Okay. And what that is water releases from Lake Okeechobee. Lake Okeechobee is that big old lake in the center. It is used as a repository and has been a repository for agriculture across the state, mm-hmm. the citrus, and, you know, historically also U.S. sugar. Okay. There is a ton of pollution in the lake.
Yes.
There is blue-green algae, which has all sorts of neurotoxins in it that kills small animals and wildlife and can have some potential neurological issues related to Alzheimer's. Actually, there's evidence that it causes an Alzheimer's-like illness in dolphins, okay, from the blue-green algae. So this stuff kind of sits on the bottom of the lake like this, all right? The lake, because it's this repository, we had all that weird rain this year, winter rain. So it got very high. Once it gets over a certain height, it's 15 feet, then the Army Corps of Engineers, who controls the water flows, says, okay, we have to release it. Otherwise, it's going to flood the central part of Florida, including cities like Clewiston. Okay. So there's a water management part of it that really makes sense, right? We don't want our friends in Clewiston to be flooded, right?
Exactly.
And our estuaries on the coast do need water from the lake to keep going through the dry season, right? However, the problem is that it's polluted. And although the Army Corps of Engineers controls the flow, the state of Florida is responsible for the water quality.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
The state of Florida is supposed to be holding the polluters accountable, supposed to be remediating the water, making it clean, guys, okay?
Yeah.
Can't get that word out. But trying to make that water clean, and it's not. So what ends up happening is when that water gets high, the Army Corps of Engineers goes, listen, we have to release the water, otherwise the whole thing's going to go down. And it goes down towards us here in Fort Myers to the west and to the east to Port St. Lucie. Okay.
Yes.
Now Port St. Lucie is much smaller. They get a lot less junk. Also, they have Democrats that run everything and they fought back. And so they don't get nearly as much of the junk as we do. We have been sold out by our policymakers. So we get far more than the than the East Coast. Okay. And unfortunately, this is a 10-year thing. So we are literally stuck with this disgusting water flooding and polluting our beaches for 10 years until the state decides they're going to clean it or we renegotiate this agreement that we have with it. Right. And, you know, it's so funny because like Byron Donalds and all these people, they've patted themselves on the back. Oh, we did such a good job, but it doesn't feel like a good job when your beaches are destroyed and you have blue green algae coming through and killing your dogs. There's stories of dogs dying because it gets into the canals too. Right. So if you get that slick green sludge.
Yes.
That's the blue green algae. But on top of that, we also get the red tide. And we remember the red tide also feeds in and kills the fish. And there's all these disgusting fish kills and really just makes it difficult for anybody who's on the beach. If you got a restaurant or a hotel, or if you're a charter fisherman, you know, this really affects our community and our ability to have our economy function. And the releases currently are scheduled to go through May. So that means like the rest of season. So this time of year where so many people are reliant on making those tips on the beach and getting those folks into their shops so they can stay open, that may not happen, because I'll tell you what, you take one look at this water and the smell of it is also very putrid. People are not going to want to continue to come. And it's a problem, and it's very unfortunate, but that we're stuck with it, right? And all we can do is advocate against it, but the timeline for the management of it is so long, it's really difficult to advocate for. And it's technical stuff. Like, I'm very involved in this, so I know what's going on, but I mean, we're talking like, these are engineers that are like, it's got to be this level and that level and all this negotiation. So it's very easy for politicians like Byron Donalds to go, oh yeah, we did a good job. Like, we did our best. Right. And everybody else just goes, okay, hopefully that's true.
Yeah. But I mean, like you say, you know, it brings all this messing, because when the red tide came in, I think, was it last year, you know, people were just looking at all the dead fish, the smell and that type thing. And it was just so, so gross and uncomfortable, you know, for people that, you know, say, well, I don't really want to go. I mean, some people still went out and braved, you know, those conditions, but that's still, from the standpoint of people wanting to come, takes that away, because they said, why am I going to come to the Fort Myers area and try and enjoy the beaches, Sanibel or whatever? And Sanibel can boast, you know, it's a, you know, great location. You know, we have this, we have that, but no one's going to want to put up with that kind of stuff. But those are things that we have to make sure, just like you say, it's a 10-year deal. So we have to deal with it, you know, but we have to make sure in some kind of way, you know, that we continue to push for and fight for and advocate for, you know, some type of clean water initiative that's going to help. And like you say, hold those institutions accountable, you know, for not just, you know, in the Fort Myers area, but, you know, from where it starts, you know, back in the Okeechobee River, you know, so making sure that, you know, this is where it begins. And if we can't tackle where it begins, or at least on the Southwest Florida, is always going to be on the receiving end of so much crap. And we have to make sure that if we want to, again, like I said, this is our beaches are our moneymaker, you know, and you have corporations spending, you know, millions and millions of dollars, you know, to at least be able to house people and the restaurants coming in and, you know, just so many different things, entertainment and that type on the beach. But if people are coming and smelling and looking at and seeing this kind of stuff, you're going to lose. You're going to lose out. And it's going to affect our economy. It's going to affect, you know, the livelihood of people. They're already saying that the housing market in the Fort Myers area is one of the worst. And they're already saying that people are trying to leave, you know, Florida in droves because of so many other different issues.
Insurance crisis and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
But what we need is we need to elect people to the Florida legislature who are going to hold those polluters accountable and who are going to put the funding in to cleaning Lake Okeechobee, because that's really the only hope we have right now, because we are stuck with these water releases for good or for bad. I mean, like you said, there are some positive things that we need to do. We're trying to protect people from flooding, and then we need to have water in the estuaries for the overall quality and balance of our wildlife, right? But if you don't clean it, right? Like you're exactly. just sending this disgusting putrid water all the way down. And we're all going to get more harmful algal blooms, including red tide and blue-green algae. And those are bad for human health. It's bad for animal health. You're going to see manatee deaths. You're going to see sawfish deaths, which we already had a huge number of sawfish deaths this year, already 27. Yeah. That's another protected species. You're going to see the dolphin deaths. And, you know, these are, you know, protected animals and part of our amazing wildlife, right?
Exactly.
And there's so many consequences to it. And the solution seems very simple, right? It's just clean the water, clean the lake, figure it out, and hold those who polluted the lake accountable for doing that. Whether it's legacy pollution, because that's what it really is at this point. But we can't. You know, let those companies off. That's still their responsibility. And we just need people who are in Tallahassee who are ready to make those types of decisions.
Definitely. Exactly. So we again want to thank everyone, but these are things, these are issues and problems and concerns that we have. And we're interested in hearing some of the concerns that you guys may have, you know, whatever those concerns and issues are. I mean, we know that there are a ton of things we can talk about, but what's important to you, you know, and let us know. We certainly would love for you to email us, call us, just to give us your voice, your opinion on those things. And we're not worried about whether or not you agree with us, or we can agree together, or we can agree to disagree, whatever it is. But we want to make sure that we at least open up the dialogue so that we can begin to talk about these things and come to some type of minimal agreement of saying, this is what we need to do, you know, give ideas, give options, you know, but at least give your opinion, let your voice be heard. So again, my name is Howard Sapp with Now You Know, and we're so glad that you tuned in for this segment. And we look forward to you guys being able to, again, you know, talk with us. If you want to be on the show, certainly reach out to us and we can definitely have you on the show, and we'll talk about it. You know, whatever it is, we'll talk about it. So again, my name is Howard. Thank you so much for being a part of us, and thank you for, you know, definitely contributing to Big Mouth Media. And we would ask Dr. Cindy Banier, how can they continue to be a part?
Absolutely. So you can email the show at info@bigmouthmediafl.com. And we'd love to have your support by getting a subscription to our shows and get all of our high quality content emailed directly to you. $4.99 a month for the individual subscriptions, or get everything for $19.99 a month. And you can find that on the plans and pricing page on the Big Mouth Media website at bigmouthmediafl.com. And I have been your co-host today, Dr. Cindy Banier, along with Howard Sapp for Now You Know. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.